This episode of the TZR Podcast is brought to you by audibletrial.com/TZR. Get your free 30-day trial to 100,000 different books all across the web on any device you want. All to talk to you through your earphones. And it's fantastic. It's great. Again, that's audibletrial.com/TZR. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to the TZR Podcast, episode 112. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Liz Lysui.
Hello.
I'm also joined by Alex Schock.
Hi, Justin.
And I'm joined by Justin Chow.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest.
Why are you always copying me? Come up with your own thing.
Because I can't just copy Alex. He's next all the time, like right before me. It's just weird.
Guys, we have a very special guest this evening.
It's also funnier to make fun of you.
That I am super excited to introduce. He is an award-winning composer and sound designer of such wonderful games, including the critically acclaimed Hyper Light Drifter.
Woo-woo!
A good friend of the podcast and a good friend of TZR in general, Akash Thakkar. How are you, my friend?
Hello. I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you.
So, Akash, we met, like, I don't even know how long ago at this
2015 GDC. How do you not remember that?
Good it was thing a pretty Justin.
Yeah.
I remember
it all. Like, so long ago.
Like, it was yesterday.
I thought we met him at PAX.
No, you got you PAX met him East? At PAX East. We met him
at GDC.
Right.
9 months before
right.
you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because that was the first time we
no,
sat
wait.
Down and talked to him.
Oh my God,
time.
Alex is right. We were 2014.
Oh, right.
No, 2014.
Is that the Starbucks
PAX.
That you guys met?
Starbucks.
We were sitting at the Starbucks.
You said, yep. Yeah, okay.
Justin,
you
said, you're
right
an idiot.
Behind you in line.
You complimented Skirbo's shirt because he was wearing a Hyper
yep.
Drifter shirt.
That's right.
And yep. you were like, oh, I work on the game. We're like, oh my God, let's talk for like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Stop.
So you know what?
No more coffee. Stop now.
So thank goodness for my killer fashion sense.
My graphic tees.
That was a long Starbucks line, too.
Oh, wow.
It was.
But you know,
thank God Alex is here.
That was a fateful day because, you know what? You have taught us a lot about the industry. I think you gave us a lot of confidence when we were first starting out. And it was just
I think you were really the first, like, in-the-industry guy we talked to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet. I had no idea. I just came up to you and started screaming at you.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that was fun.
No, it was a very impactful thing. And then, like, I remember Justin's like, "Dude, do you know who that is?" And I'm like, "No." <Please tell me."
laughs> Good story of my life.
Oh man, but we're super stoked to have you on tonight. We're gonna we've got a few fun interview questions for you. We've got a really great kind of like open ended topic that, you know, speaks to your expertise. But before we get into everything, I'm curious what everybody's been playing, how you've been keeping busy. So Akash, I know that you are, you know, drowning in work and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But when you find some time to sit down and play some games, what has been keeping you busy?
Yeah, so right now it's that good Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yo!
extreme anime dork. I'm playing that Shadow of the Colossus PS4 remake and my soft boy road trip simulator Final Fantasy 15.
Yo, you are
wow!
So on the games, man. Yes.
That's like
a
literal carbon copy of what Skirbo's been talking about this entire time.
We are going to have a chat.
It's been a minute since I played FF15, but dude, that Dragon Ball good. Ooh, man.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so who are you maining?
So good.
Who's your group?
My joke team is Goku, and Gohan. just because it's funny.
Yeah.
But my real team is Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Standard
Super
yeah.
Saiyan. Yeah.
You know,
Saiyan.
A lot of people are saying that Vegeta's not super strong in that game. I don't believe them, though.
I love Vegeta.
I'm a fan.
Yeah?
I like him a lot, yeah.
He's just, like, so badass. It's like, even if he wasn't, like, you know, on a tier list or whatever, it's just, like, when you get, like, a nice little combo and you hit him with Final Flash at the end, it's
yeah,
just
Final
like,
Flash.
Oh, it's so awesome.
It's delicious.
Are you,
right?
Delicious.
Akash, are you playing in Japanese or English?
English, because I like the English voice actors. I think Goku's Japanese voice
is
actor
terrible.
Is the worst.
Thank you.
It sounds like a cat with a steamroller.
Yes,
but why does Frieza have a British accent in that game?
Why?
Right? That's wrong, listen, right? Or am I remembering
weird.
It
yeah,
incorrectly?
Frieza should sound very different.
Okay.
Yes, no. Frieza
really?
did not have a British accent.
I didn't think I was crazy. But that does really bothered me.
But does, right. does he still do the,
Oh my gosh.
No? Yeah, that's what it is. That's the one.
All right. So I remember when Alex started playing, he was saying he kind of had an interesting experience because he's been watching a lot of Dragon Ball Super, and apparently certain characters like Beerus and stuff we haven't actually heard in English yet. Is that right?
Or... Yeah, so that was really weird for me because you know, you can't just – when you start watching Dragon Ball Super in English and you get to like the 30 or 40 episodes they're up to, you can't just stop.
Yeah.
So they're like 100 episodes later of Japanese, which are awesome. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of characters that – I haven't heard their English voices, and it's really weird.
Do you think, what are the chances that, like, Bandai Namco hired just random actors just to do the voices, but those aren't going to be used? Or are they now locked into those voice actors for the...
I'd imagine they've probably planned those voice actors.
You think so?
Well,
probably.
Disagree. I think they probably just pick anybody, and then they'll figure it out later.
We don't have a Frieza, but I found this guy at the trade station. Let's get that guy in here.
When are they going to need to do that voiceover work? Is that person going to be busy at that time? Like, who knows when
that's hard to juggle.
Yeah.
For good points. Logistics.
But man, so much care went into that game. Like, I love all the little details.
My God. It is literally like the stone that people should carve every fighting game from. Like, it's
absolutely,
its presentation is incredible. It's like legit fun to play, which I've been messing with some other fighting games like Final Fantasy Dissidia, which is cool, but it's just not that fun. Like,
it's not as fun.
You know?
Wait, so Akash, I have a question. So Justin keeps trying to get me to buy fight sticks for that game, and I feel like... wait, I was about to say, are you on the fight stick thing or are you cool with the controller? Like,
I'm cool with the controller, but I actually like fight stick. I'm also playing Tekken 7 a lot, so fight stick is night for that. I love fighting games. It's like my secret shame.
Why is it shame?
It's pretty
anytime you go up to someone and say, like, hey, I like fighting games, like, I don't. Because that's everybody. No one likes them anymore.
Yeah, you kind of get those polar you know, feelings on it.
Yeah. I kind of hate fighting games,
Yep, there you go. There you go.
Honestly, I don't play a lot of fighting games, except I only play Smash. Like, I played that thousands of hours. But that, you know, that's an atypical fighting game.
Right.
But, so Dragon Ball, I just really enjoy just the experience of it, even though playing online is extremely frustrating for me.
I mean, it's like fun, but I'm not that good at it, and I'm highly competitive.
I hear you.
Do not take losing well. Like, I
don't
can't,
really like
I can't
sweating profusely
it.
While I play video games either.
Well, one of
gross.
I think that's like one of the biggest like hurdles that most people need to get over, which is like when you jump into a new fighting game, like you have to put effort in. Like you have to like learn how to play the game, you know, or you're gonna
learning
have a bad
curves.
Time.
Yeah.
And some people that's just like that's. Too much to ask, I guess.
But
I don't
also just not, I'm not naturally good at them. Like, even if I play a lot, I feel like it must be some complex about the fact that my brother was always better at them than me. And so anytime I play with him, he just
wounded.
Kicked my
ass.
Yeah, my younger brother kicked my ass at them, and I was just not good at them. And I was like, well, fuck this. Like, when I'm winning, I love it. But I think I'm not naturally very good at them.
Yeah.
And if I play with people that have any talent at them whatsoever, I'm going to lose.
Yeah. So for some of these other titles, first of all, Shadow of the Colossus, I actually just beat that PS4 remake. Actually, Alex was on chat with
me
while I was beating that. So good. I mean,
so beautiful.
Yeah.
What a
beautiful.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's like the game still plays like weirdly. Like I
floppy.
It's just not. It's just not perfect. Like if the controls were as tight looking as the graphics have become and how like crisp
but
and beautiful the soundtrack
game,
is
it's almost
like
it's not that's not what the game's about
right.
somehow like it's
yeah.
it's,
exactly.
it's about looking at
it's
this
all spectacle.
Painting
if you
it's about looking at this moving painting it's not about how tight the controls are and you if you almost don't really care.
I would venture to say that it can pull you out of that moving picture very quickly when you're like why
Guardian.
The fuck am
if,
I not grabbing this edge what is happening.
And if you're not, like, if you're not used to it and, like, accept, like, when I, like, went back and played, I was like, this is exactly how I remember how I feel. Like, I don't really care. Like, yeah, like, it's a little janky, whatever.
If they changed it, it wouldn't be the same.
They changed it a little bit, but, like, not drastically. But Jason playing was just like, this camera's garbage! How did anybody play this game? And I was just like, you have to just get over that and just pretend that it's 2005.
Right, and you're playing on a PS2.
Exactly.
That might be, like, my favorite game of all time.
It's a pretty spectacular experience.
I have a question though for Akash. In the theme of you know, having a musician here as a guest. Do you, when you're listening to like Shadow of the Colossus, do you take note of all the different like themes of each of the monsters?
Oh yeah, it's super analytical. My brain is ruined.
I figured.
Anytime I listen to anything ever, I'm like, oh, that's a cool sound, or like, oh, I see what he did with the orchestration there. He mixed the violins with the flute. Too. Right. Oh no, I'm never criticizing because everyone's better than me. So it's always like, oh shit, I should put the clarinet there.
You know, it's so funny because we had our good friend and a good friend of yours as well, Ryan Eich, on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Love that guy.
Great guy.
Was just a quality human being there. You know what I mean? Just a quality human being. But when we were talking to him, Justin posed the same question, which is like, you know, can you play games the same? Yeah. Are you seeing the Matrix now? Are
you like, the answer was similar. He's like, I see all the code.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. It's impossible not to because you know what goes into it. So when like a camera thing goes wonky, you're like, oh, I don't feel bad for like me having a bad camera angle. I feel bad for the programmer who had to fix what it was to make it like what it currently is, and it's still not great. Yeah. Like, oh, geez. So
it's like, oh, they're probably going to hear that from somebody. Dang it.
Yeah.
So there are never
right. Like their Twitter's ruined.
There are never games or experiences that you find where it forces you to step back and you just take it all in. Or you're too far deep at this point.
Mass Effect 2 was the only game. Okami from way back. Are the only two games that ever did that for me.
Did you play the HD remake of that at all?
Of course, it's my favorite game of all time. Oh, so
oh wow!
Because you're a dog. What else do you want?
You're
a god.
So cool.
You're a god dog.
Beautiful, beautiful game. I did pick that up on PS4, but I ended up I got into the Monster Hunters and all this other stuff almost immediately after. Awesome, so.
Are you playing Monster Hunter?
I am actually.
Oh my god! Friend me.
It's so good.
We're you fool!
All the time.
I'll friend all of you.
Yes,
we can't kind of, not play. Like,
it's kind
so
of unbelievable
good.
How many hours of our.
And the music
into
in
it.
That game is fucking great too. Like,
oh, it's incredible!
It's amazing. Like the Nergigante is what we just got up to, and the music is all fully orchestrated, and it actually like sounds almost like I don't know. I was telling this to Alex before, but I was like, is this like Star Wars? I feel like it's like as epic as Star Wars music right now. It's ridiculous.
Are blaring.
Yeah,
it's super good. Oh. It's super super good.
So wait, in Shadow of the Colossus though, what's your favorite? Favorite monsters theme, boom.
Well, oh man, I don't know the names of
just,
any.
I don't
of the
know. I don't know them
so
either.
To, like,
I don't know the
picture.
I'll
have
for
to
us.
Like
describe it.
Describe which one it is.
Is it the big one?
So
do you have one?
I do. For the my favorite like quiet theme is when it's the underwater snake.
Oh my god,
that scared the shit out of me.
That thing is so unsettling, and I hate underwater monsters like Final Fantasy VII. That weapon that's like floating in the water still scares me.
Emerald weapon.
I mean, like water.
Emerald weapon. Oh, yeah, water shit's terrifying. So like that quiet like violin pad essentially is so unsettling. I love it.
Oh my gosh,
absolutely.
Do you know what water level haunts me to this day? Like I still don't think I could replay this game because it was so like damaging when I was a child. You ever play Star Wars Shadows of the Empire? On N64.
Oh, yeah.
On N64.
Yo, that sewer level? Uh-uh, man.
Oh,
never, never again will I play that game because it fucked me up too much, man.
I remember that. Ooh, there's a big monster.
Yeah. And it's like you can't really see it because it's like, are the graphics really bad or is it just like the depth of field is not there yet? That was rough.
I mean, Shadow of the Colossus is like one of my favorite games of all time, but the flying desert dragon.
I can't remember
guy.
What they call it, but yeah.
That one's a good one.
That
yeah.
whole experience. I mean, the battle itself was cool, but you know, you see it flying around, and as it gets closer, you know, the music picks up, and then it slams, and it kind of glides on the ground. You're going beside it with the horse and jumping onto it.
It's kind of incredible. I
so awesome.
Recently, remember the video I sent you?
Yeah.
I would highly recommend people to check out Game Score Fanfare, a really fantastic YouTube channel. And this guy did an expose on Shadow of the Colossus around its music. And he made some pretty astute points that I didn't really pick up while I was playing, where it's like, when you first see the monsters, it's very quiet, like you were saying with the underwater theme, where it's like, kind of what's happening here, you know, like I didn't provoke the thing yet, like what's going on, but then like once it's provoked, it's like harsh and scary and all this stuff, but then the second you hit the weak point for the first time, it becomes all heroic and it's like oh my god,
awesome.
Yes.
But then after you kill it immediately goes to like you Sombers. Should feel bad about yourself because you just killed a living
melancholy.
thing, and it's like it's really interesting how it takes you on this journey, and it really does, like,
and it like so much, like, people keep comparing Monster Hunter and Shadow of the Colossus now they're out at the same time because, like, the the music so in Shadow of the Colossus makes you, at the soon as that monster is dead, you're like, oh man,
yeah,
I'm an asshole. You're like, you really feel it, as opposed to like Monster Hunter, where you're like, I'm gonna go make a hat.
You're like, I'm gonna go something.
Exactly. I feel bad sometimes. It's like it's got scars all over its face. Its tongue is hanging out of its mouth.
It's actually eyes are rolled back into his skull.
Well, what's so funny? I thought about this the other day. It's funny that you bring this up. Like, remember when you're playing Dark Souls? And you fight the Sif and the dog. Yeah. And like the second you damage it enough where it starts like limping around, you're like, oh man, like now I feel bad about killing this thing. Yeah. But in Monster Hunter, it's like I'll be beating the shit out of a T-Rex with a hammer.
A giant hammer.
And then once he starts limping, I'm like, yeah, let's go kill it.
It's like a kid to a bunch of kids throwing rocks at cats. It's terrible.
Guys, aren't video games the best? Video games. Oh man. But what about the rest of you guys? Are you playing anything new?
I'm playing, well, I just finished the first part of Mario Odyssey.
Oh, awesome.
So
nice. Also a game with a great soundtrack.
Yeah. Yo, super good.
Keeping it with the theme, guys. It's my job. Have you played it yet, Akash?
Oh yeah, I'm very early in it, but I'm playing it right now, and it is good.
Yeah, that was like,
it's beautiful.
I feel like I binged that game a little too hard when it first came out.
You
but
think?
Like, yeah.
Jesus, you came in, you're like, guys, this is the greatest game ever. You don't even know. I did every single thing you could possibly do. Every coin, every.
Yep.
But it was like, lost your mind when that game came out.
Because it was the most like. I don't even know how you say it. It's like, in some games I feel like I sort of have like a responsibility to it, you know what I mean? Like,
obligation.
Like an obligation, like I need to play Monster Hunter because it's like you guys are playing and I need to catch up and I need to be there. But
fuck,
it's like,
yeah.
But it's like every time I turned on Mario, I'm just like, I can just chill and just jump around and like have a good time, and it's just great.
It's like a big playground.
I felt like it was, I don't know, playing it, it wasn't almost like, I when I started playing it, I wasn't like, oh my god, I love this game, I'm having the best time. It was almost like, it felt like I was like an addict. Like, it felt like I was just like this
That's
is
not
so
good.
Like, I felt like just like sliding, like I felt like I've been like clean for 15 years.
And now you're just dirty.
And then I like started playing, and it was just like taking that first shot after you've just been sober for 15 years, and you're just like, oh, I know exactly what this feels like.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
This analogy is great. That animal.
Just one loved every second of it. Thank you for that.
Because especially like that was like, you know, my first experience with games is like an N64.
Yeah.
So I was like, it wasn't like, I love this game and enjoy this experience. It was like,
nostalgia.
This is who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very weird thing to try to explain, and I'm glad you guys came with me on this journey.
I feel the same way whenever I play Tetris. That it's like I'm regressing in my video game career. I don't really know. Not regressing necessarily,
but it feels like home. You know,
it does. I smell the baked potatoes. I don't know why I said baked potatoes.
It wasn't. It didn't feel like home in like this great, like comforting, nostalgic way. This like, now I have to do this way.
Understandable.
Why can't I make that jump? It's so frustrating.
Justin, how about you? What have you been playing?
Monster Hunter. I mean, we could probably just skip me. I've been playing only Monster Hunter. Yeah, Monster Hunter all the time. Literally hunting monsters is my new job. I'm sorry. I just have a problem. And those hats, I get every single one of them. It's a thing. It is very much a thing.
Fully licensed Monster Hunter.
Skip me, please.
Well, Alex, I know you've been playing something new and interesting.
Yeah. Skin Cold Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
I have been playing a lot of Monster Hunter, but I've also had a lot of games on my, as we all do, on my backlog. But I actually started playing a whole bunch of them. And some of them are some nice small games that I, you know, really hadn't had a chance to play. And it, like Abzu, I played. I think I mentioned that last week, which is a very cool little game, Journey-esque.
Yeah.
I just beat...
Same creator.
How's the music? I hear the music's great in that game.
Keep it on theme. Keep it on theme.
The music is great. It's a very chill kind of zen game.
Yeah.
A really interesting game was Firewatch that I beat this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Super excited to try that.
I've not tried it yet.
I want to try it when you're done.
That's like just a weird, cool narrative experience.
Yeah.
And I actually... I forgot that you were coming on here, Akash. I was... to start playing Hyperlight Drifter.
I was staring at him because I was like, I know he's been playing that. I wonder if he's going to say it because Akash is on right now.
No, yeah, because it was actually separate. But I've been meaning to play that for
a long
time.
What do you think about the music?
Yeah, right.
That's even better that you didn't think of like, oh, I have a guest that worked on it. No, you're just like, this looks all right. I like cartoon games.
There you go.
To yourself.
I always thought it was so cool. And even back when we first, like, was that
2014. Yeah. 2014. Yeah, 2014 PAX East. Because that was a few months before we met up with Akash again at GDC. Oh, crazy story. Okay, continue.
Guys, we're old. Long time ago.
Good time.
Very impressive game on the floor. And, you know, I've been waiting for so long. And it missed me when it came out. And now I have it at the console version. So it's very cool. The box art is awesome.
How's your experience been thus far?
Oh, it's so bad. No. I absolutely hate it. No, it's a very cool game. I'm really not far into it, though.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just getting my, kind of digging my heels in. And
yeah. It has a cool sort of like Dark Souls-y kind of pace to it, where it's like you start to play the game and you're like, okay, I understand how this works. And then you kind of like learn some of the deeper mechanics and you're like, okay, like, wow, I can do this now. This is cool.
I can use
like,
these mechanics.
I love it. At least at the beginning, it's, you know, it's almost quiet. You know, there's not a lot of talking.
Somber.
Everything's very a lot of images and a lot of visuals and very, I don't know. It just had a very cool opening with the beasts and I don't know. There's a lot of mystery surrounding how the game opens.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward even just to exploring the world and figuring out what the hell's going on and why he keeps coughing up blood.
Every time you play Hyper Light Drifter, I want you to listen to the music and think that is actually Akash just whispering soothing tones into your ears.
I'm actually all the sound
all
design.
The sound
that's
effects.
What I meant.
Yes.
So every time you like swing a sword, which is often, think of
well,
me.
It's like that's forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Think of Akash going, ksh, ksh.
You guys are forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You're not far off.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the music guy, but you know, boom.
Yeah.
I'm gonna picture Akash there just doing that for me.
Actually, that's really funny you brought that up because I remember Akash. I think it was, I want to say it was GDC when we were talking about it. But as we were talking about it, you were talking about how you like create some of these sound effects, which is like I think one of them was like banging something against the refrigerator or something, or using like weird metal clanking noises. I don't know. I'm just making them up right now, but
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, okay.
How unorthodox do you get? Like, I love seeing those behind the scenes footage of people.
Yeah, you were the one that told me
buying
actually
a TV just to smash it so you can get the sound from it.
You were the one that told me that like the Mortal Kombat noises were, I think it was just gacked in a bucket. I think that was you. That you just
it's like gack and slime and like macaroni and cheese and stuff, and they just
make
squirt
that,
it, and that's blood.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
What's like the weirdest thing you've done for a sound effect?
So for not for a specific sound effect, but for my like Pony Stark genius level method of getting
nice
sounds is I bought, you know, those like, orange, like safety vests.
Yes.
That make you look like a construction worker. Well, I bought one of those and I bought a couple road cones. So whenever I go out and record and I need to record in a weird spot or I need to sneak into somewhere, I just wear that and bring the road cones. No one stops.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You're like, oh, he's official. Let's let him go.
He's meant to be
here. That's genius.
Yep.
Official business.
Yeah. I just need a hard hat now and then I can walk
in
anywhere.
And a clipboard.
Oh, a clipboard. Yeah.
Sealed the deal. No one would stop you anywhere.
You know you are dedicated to your work when you're B&E-ing to record some kind of crazy sounds.
That's amazing.
So if I want to record, like, there's a monorail in Seattle that goes through it, and it's, like, in the middle of the road. I'm like, well, I could stand here safely in the middle of the road where the monorail, like, track is and not get hit because it's above you. It's suspended above you. But I'm going to put on a safety vest and record the undercarriage of the rail. And no one will stop me because they'll just think I'm there to like measure the rail.
Oh my god, that's so funny!
Wow,
we need to do that,
guys.
Yeah, just checking the decibel level of this.
Official city business.
So this actually sparks one of the questions that I had for you, which is like, okay, so when you're on a project, right? And you're trying to define what a game is going to sound like. What kind of goes into your process of like breaking down, like, all right, these are the sounds that I'm going to need for this. This is how I'm going to make it, you know, make everything, you know, come to
mesh.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah, like make it all mesh. Like, how do you kind of, like, what is your process in defining what a game sounds like?
Yeah, so
in
that's really iterative. Right. 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 That's super iterative. So it goes through a lot of trial and error. So usually what I do is I'll start with a small bank of initial sounds. So we'll use Hyperlight as an example. There's a dash, there's a sword sound, there's a few monster sounds, there's like the pistol sound, just a few initial things to start with. And that is my base.
Okay.
So once I start there and once I eventually feel like it fits in a game, then I base everything off of those core sound.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
So it starts as a bassist.
Yeah, exactly. So when I am looking for like, okay, what aesthetic should I even use? Usually I will start. So there's this difference between expectation and reality. In reality, swords don't make a cool sound, but our expectation is that they do. So I start on the far end of expectation. So I go super hardcore anime time on it. I exaggerate the hell out of it and see how it fits, and then gradually dial it back until it doesn't. Hyperlight is anime town plus plus, so I just didn't have to dial it back at all. It was just anime straight up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now
I could just crank it.
Now, was that your decision, or when you were talking to Alex was the lead developer on that, correct?
Right. Yeah, yes. Alex Preston.
Yes, Alex Preston. I got to interview him once. That was very cool.
That name, cool guy. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So was that like his call? Like, did he approach you and basically say, listen, I want stuff to sound like futuristic fucking laser anime swords, or was he like, this is what my game is about and looks like, bring me sounds? Like how do those conversations happen?
Right, pretty in between. So it is like, here's the tone we're going for. It's like super dark and sad, and it's here's the art style, and here's some concept art, here's where we're going with it, here's the general outline of the story. Come at me with stuff. Also, your first assignment, and this was true of everyone's, like, hey, watch some Evangelion. Like, all right, sweet.
Nice.
Because that was a big inspiration for the game, as you could probably tell with like giant horrific robot things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that is a kind of point to draw from, and he gave me points to draw from like Metal Gear Solid, which I love, or Evangelion, or other things like that. And then I kind of base it from there and find ways I can make it sound like me.
Mm, that's cool.
That's what those robots reminded me of at the beginning.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
They're shaped very similar to them. Oh, okay. Too, yeah.
Now, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of inspiration from Evangelion.
Great show.
So when you're so doing the sound for a game, you're brought in like very early, like during conception. Like, at what point in the game do you start working on it?
Liz, ooh. I love you for saying that exact thing, because literally this is quote. You know, you've made all these videos online, kind of.
So what's this question?
Kind of stuff. But no, in one of
I was
your
just
videos,
naturally curious.
No, but I remember in one of your videos, and I'm paraphrasing here. You basically say that sound design is so incredibly important to a game's overall flavor that the final product will almost always benefit the earlier sound design is considered in a game.
Absolutely,
and I'm paraphrasing there, but like,
yeah. Yeah, so, it's 100% that. And usually what devs will do, because they don't have sound classes in school ever, they'll get audio at the very last second.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I like the idea. So my whole thing is if a client, nowadays I have the luxury of picking, if a client says, oh, we need all the sounds in 3 weeks, I'm like, I can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I'll try and choose projects that are getting audio as early as humanly possible. Hyperlight was at the very beginning, so I was on it for 3 years. Mm. Sometimes it's not that early, but it is early enough where the game is still in a lot of development and is still pretty rough, because that allows me to fail with the rest of the team just like everyone else is doing, right, and then figure out the tone with everybody else.
Yeah, I guess, like, so I'm trying to think about it from like a project management perspective. Like, so is it more so because by being in there earlier, it kind of gives you the bandwidth, like it gives you the time to really refine the sounds down? Or is it more because you're seeing how the game is being developed and you're like okay, journey, I know what this sword is supposed to feel like when something gets hit by it, and I need to create the sound that complements how it's supposed to feel?
Mm. Right. Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but it's more the second one. So it does take iteration. Some Hyperlight sounds got to version 75 before it was like good and done. So there is time involved too, but a lot of it is okay, it can sound good on the first or second try, but will it sound amazing? Right. so you need that time to do that. Will it sound like beautiful silk?
Yeah.
So, and you can nail the tone of everything when you have that time, because you can talk to the artists over the course of however many months and see where they're going with it, because they will have their own opinions and thoughts. You can talk to the director and you'll hear things like, oh, you know what, we're cutting this because it doesn't feel lonely enough. Then I'm like, oh, okay, he's going for a lonely feel for the rest of like the game, the or context, for this chunk of the game.
Interesting.
Yeah, so now I know that I should nail that for every other part or for this current part. So, and you only hear that when you're on it from an early point.
Can I ask what sound effect got to version 75?
No, you can't stop.
Oh, no,
I remember. One of them, it's a heel. So the healing sound. The heel went through so many iterations for the animation.
That
too.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Initially, it was the pickup. Then it was something. Then it was like I think auto healing was in there for a brief bit, or it was discussed. But then eventually, we settled on the jamming your leg with a syringe. Yep. Look just like Bloodborne.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I can hear that sound effect
that happened
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Yeah. So when that happened, that's when it clicked. But it took a few tries because at first I made it sound pleasant, like, oh, you got healed. And then I made it sound less pleasant. And now it sounds like blood entering you, like acid blood is going inside of you.
Oof.
And because of that, that was like a good reminder of like, oh, this stuff you're injecting yourself with is only just keeping you hanging on. It's not like a pleasant heart like
right,
in Zelda.
Right, yeah.
So there's tone even in that, which is why it took so many variations.
That's so interesting because that totally does make sense. If you needed to feel a little bit more gritty and realistic, you make the sound feel that way, and then the player, unbeknownst to him or her, kind of like feels it just by the sound.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
important.
It's important.
Right.
It's super important.
I was just
going
to say, like, that's the kind of stuff that really drives immersion. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, when you're in a, you mentioned Bloodborne, like when you're in a Bloodborne battle with this huge thing and you can only dodge away for a second and get this quick heal, you want to hear that, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's very satisfying.
I like the powders in Monster Hunter.
Yeah, like the snap
yeah.
and like the whoosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good.
And then
very
when
good.
It activates, you know,
yeah,
phew,
yeah.
Just, yeah.
When you're making those iterations, though, are you fine tuning a similar sound over and over again, or are you going out with the cones and the vest and like hitting bags with sticks? I don't know why I said that, but yeah,
right. So more often it's tweaking a sound that's already there. Sometimes, usually it's like kind of right, and then it just needs to be gotten closer to what it is. But for the heel, for example, it was just not right over and over and over. So it was just new sounds over and over and over and over again until it was finally correct and liquidy. And then basically once I got to that hissy, liquidy acid sound, then it was like three or four tweaks, and then it was done.
What was the what
How
was
did
the,
you make the sound?
What was the feedback like? Like, was it just like, not spewy enough. What the fuck are you talking
right,
about?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So for the heel specifically, the reason it was so difficult is like none of us really knew what it should be.
They just knew it was wrong.
We just knew we just all knew it was like, oh, that's not it's just not quite right. But until when it became like unpleasant, then I was like, okay, yeah, that's
oh, that's interesting. So it was more of like an exploration.
Yeah, exactly. And that's true of everyone on the team. Like, everyone was, like, shrugging and throwing their arms up to the sky and trying stuff, which is the benefit of indie development.
Yeah,
you can just
kind
of
really
do cool. that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were all experimenting. It wasn't just me.
Oh, gosh, just do it better. Just better.
It needs to be about
20%
cooler.
I don't understand. What don't you understand?
Make it sound more yellow.
I need
luscious.
I am glad that Alex didn't give me that sort of feedback, but that feedback has been given to me before by other people.
Oh,
like, make it sound blue or purple.
What the hell?
How do you even, like, take that and then, like, deconstruct it into, like, actual advice? Like,
So I have psychic powers.
You're right. That makes sense.
Interesting.
No, but, like, when that sort of feedback is given, it's literally just like, well, I'm just going to do my own thing and figure it out.
Thanks,
but there was...
Yeah.
There's a sound in Hyperlight, or there's a moment in Hyperlight where like a tower comes out of the ground and starts flashing this big purple light. And I was like, I want this to sound purple. And I made a purple-esque sound. And then people in the YouTube comments said, my God, it even sounds purple.
I smell purple.
There's even something there to it, but I don't know how I harnessed it.
That's bizarre.
I like that.
Psychology, man.
Do you ever get like recommendations like, well, you know, like that Monster Hunter, you know, powder sound? Like, just make it sound like that. Like... Has that happened, and are you able to deconstruct somebody else's sound to be like, huh, how did they make that bag opening sound, you know?
Yeah, totally. So that is sometimes like, can you make it sound a little bit like Monster Hunter or like Metal Gear or something like that? And totally, that's actually decent feedback, because then I can know,
you have something
then
to base
I can
it
use
off
my
of,
psychic
yeah.
powers.
Right.
Exactly, and be like, oh, they like the clickiness of this. Like, that's what they like. Or like they like the powdery sound of this. That's what they're going for. Let me just do my version of a powdery sound, not a Monster Hunter sound. But
gotcha.
It's a good base to go off of.
Gotcha.
Makes a lot of sense. It's weird because like, I mean, I haven't actually, obviously I've never been to like a studio or watched you do this before. The only like closeness that I have to like a process of this was like Zelda Breath of the Wild. They have an entire like expose, like a huge documentary on a bunch of different things about this game, one of which was the sound effects. And the way they did it was literally like you just saw two guys squatting next to this weird like stone slab slapping flip-flops against the floor, and, that just, and that's it. that's the magic.
That's so funny.
Do you keep the sound? Do you like have a file of favorite sounds? Like I have to imagine, you come up with some sounds, and maybe the client doesn't. Maybe they don't like
it. Do you have a Winamped playlist of all these sounds?
My God,
that you tweak slightly for depending on what you're working on.
Yeah.
Do you have a go-to?
I do.
Like that?
Yeah, I totally do. I have a giant library. I think I'm looking at my hard drive now. I think it's a 20 terabyte.
What?
And it's almost full, so I need to get a new one, which is insane because now my hard drives cost like $3,000.
That's
great.
So that's a thing.
Oh man.
So that's a thing that I have to deal with. But so yeah, I do have like go-tos that I like to go to that I've made before and maybe weren't used in anything ever.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
Or I have go-to processes that I like to use. For example, a recent game that I worked on called Brass Tactics, which is a VR game that just came out. It's VR RTS.
Oh, cool.
And they wanted one of the creatures or one of the people that you made, one of the units that you made, to make a giant Inception-esque bois sound when it was spawned because it's the most powerful unit in the game.
Okay.
And what I did for that, I was like, well, what would I do for a blah sound? Because I know what they did for that was record 40 bass trombones just playing at the same time. Mine was me and very silly. And I was like, what if I made an electric kazoo? So I have an electric kazoo now that I can plug directly into a guitar amp.
That's ludicrous.
And recorded that directly in and then just added reverb and pitched it down. And it sounded spot exactly on.
That's awesome.
That's all it is. So the most intimidating unit in the game is a kazoo.
That's a pretty...
So now I have that process.
That's amazing.
When I need a bois, I got the kazoo. So like I have processes that I go to sometimes as well.
Gotcha. So if it's like, oh, I need something that sounds more like Metallica-y, or I need something that sounds more like floaty or something. It's like you know how like generally you're going into those sound departments.
Right? Kazoo plus balloon.
The electric whoopee cushion.
Right.
Oh my god. So Akash, we've been talking to Akash, the sound designer, the award-winning composer.
So kind.
But I would like to talk to Akash, the man.
Wow.
Strip away all the layers.
Let me just take off my shirt.
Light the candle.
Yeah.
So
turn on all the lights.
You know, throughout the course of your career, more recently, you know, I've seen you being incredibly proactive in creating educational material for aspiring professionals, you know, whether it be in sound or otherwise. You know, you've got your YouTube channel where you're posting content to, you've been on other podcasts like these, you know, sharing some of your expertise, and you even were on your own TED Talk, which is ridiculous. So I'm just kind of curious, what makes you so compelled to kind of give back to this community to help, you know, fuel the next generation of aspiring video game
sound designers,
you know, professionals with you know, your experience.
Yeah, a lot of it is because I didn't have it when I was getting started. I was lucky enough to go to music school and I eventually got it. I eventually found professors who were like, oh, video games are all right. But until then, I had literally nothing because I grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere with absolutely no money.
Huh.
I was one of the few musicians in my town, so I had a teacher, but for a lot of it, I was self-taught. I would just basically hustle, and then when I got to the real world, essentially, I saw all the holes I had in every respect, whether it be from how to handle myself socially all the way to how to do a job.
Oh, wow.
I had all these holes. So I was like, okay, well, I like talking, so I might as well do this for good and not evil.
I like that choice. One or the other.
It almost sounds like a situation where you're like, well, if not me, then who?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, there's also that too, because I noticed, at least when I started, there's literally no one in audio doing that sort of thing. Now there's others, which is great. That makes me really happy. But when I first started doing like YouTube content and speaking and stuff, there are very few other audio people helping others in the game industry, and those a few that were there were kind of the old guard giving advice that doesn't work anymore at all. So I was like, well, that doesn't apply because what you just said is a job that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah.
let me let me clear this up for people.
I was going to say, like, it's got to be tough because, like, I'm sure, you know, the gaming landscape from the development side is probably changing dramatically, like, very quickly. So, you know, how do you kind of, like, how do you contest with that, you know?
Yeah, the best, luckiest thing is that I'm in it every day. Like, I do all my own business stuff still. Like, I manage everything on my own. I do record all my own sounds, all that sort of stuff. So because I'm in it every single day, I'm still networking. I'm going to GDC. I'm going to South by Southwest.
Nice.
I'm constantly experimenting. Gotcha. So I'll be like, everything. Okay, I'll test everything. Like, okay, what's the best way to approach people and talk to them? How do I make a compelling conversation? All that sort of stuff. And I'll teach it to other people through my tests.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Are you going to PAX? Yeah. Are you going to PAX East?
I am speaking at PAX East.
Yo, yes! No fucking way. Yo, we're hanging out when you come to PAX. Oh, yeah. I'll
be there.
Oh,
we have an entire team going.
We're going to hang out a ton.
Excellent. Full seven people with press passes. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, we're rolling pretty deep this time.
Rolling deep.
We should meet in the Starbucks line.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes,
just like old
times. I'll see you at Starbucks. Just
like old Everybody saw that shirt.
Goosebumps. Do I do have, I have a second Hyperlight Drifter shirt now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wear both of those at the same time.
So yes. Take one off. Whoa, it's still there. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I find it very, very admirable, the kind of work that you're doing, because, you know, it's not easy to create content. Nobody's asking you to, you know, divulge all of this information. And I'm sure it's changed people's lives who are really, like, you know, kind of grasping at straws to say, all I really want to do is sneak into underground trains and report their things, but I don't know how.
But you know, I just don't know.
You're the guy that gives them the confidence and the know-how to do it.
I'm glad. I'm flattered that you think that. That makes me oh so happy. Yeah. And you know that side of it too, because you're on like episode 100 something of a podcast, so that's insane.
Hey.
So you get what it's like to constantly make stuff.
Well, it's like you're saying, you know, we're all hustling out here, you know what I mean? We're all trying to make it happen. And I think the thing is, and this is sort of, you know, you were touching on it before when you were like, you know, you're just kind of in it and you had to just figure it out. I think a lot of us in the industry, no matter what kind of angle you're coming from, we're all just kind of figuring it out, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's nobody sitting there telling you what to do. And like,
yeah,
I feel like every time we meet people, we're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How is it like?
It's constant
like,
learning.
It's like, yeah, it's like every time you meet somebody, you exchange stories. You're like, oh, is that how? Because we did it this way. And like,
yeah,
you're just like,
we didn't
fly,
have cones, but we had the vest. But now we're gonna get the cones.
Yeah, yeah, and you're all like learning from each other. That's
yeah,
get those cones.
So slight change in topic for like a split second. I'm like fascinated by when you told me about you going on to TED. I was like, oh my god, what? What is that like? Can you talk to us a little bit about like the experience of them prepping? Like, I remember getting like a small little like tidbit from you, and I'm not sure where it was, if it was GDC or another PAX West or something like that, but I remember you talking to me about it for a second, and you said like it's a whole orchestrated event, like it's huge.
Oh yeah, it's massive how much goes into it. And a big part of it was, and I didn't know they did this, but they prepped the speakers for months.
Months?
And what
months?
You do is give your talk every single week for months.
Jesus.
Over and over and over, and you have three coaches, at least I did. And the coaches were more of a content coach, a speaking coach, and then kind of a general and physicality coach. So they like say, like, oh, look at the screen when the video comes up, that sort of stuff.
Wow.
And
I bet you're
that
such a good public speaker now.
Yeah.
it was so helpful. I would pay so much money for that sort of training. And now after like TED, I can improvise an hour long talk and not like everything will be fine.
We're about 45 minutes in and you're doing great.
Did they choose your outfit?
No.
We live in
hell. The only thing they tell you to do is like make sure you don't wear like super weird patterns that will F up the camera.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
that's all they tell you.
Gotcha.
But everything else they're just like, yeah, well, whatever, just don't walk off the red thing.
The red
can't put it
on.
I had
always known that you did a TED talk, but I couldn't find it. The one time that I was looking for it, I was just like, it'll probably come out eventually. Justin showed it to us just before the podcast for like a split second.
We had
like
a pre-podcast screening.
Yeah, really quickly, just be like, oh my god, I'm gonna watch that later. But we did notice the red square. That red square is actually like a place for you not to walk off of because of the cameras, I'm assuming.
If you walk off, they will not put your talk online, period.
Wow.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, I guess, I was gonna say if they're investing that much in, you know, speech coaching and physicality coaches and all this stuff, you know, they're clearly investing in a product, so they want to maintain that quality across the board, you know.
Just sort of stand on the stupid red square.
While you're talking, were you like very conscious of the red square?
No, actually, so what I do when I practice speaking to prevent myself from moving around too much, depending on the context, I will practice with my arms and legs completely locked, so that all the motions that do come out when I speak are natural. I'm not pre-meditating any of my motions, so when I practiced like that, I came off as calm.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But there are other talks where I want to be more dynamic and walk across the stage. In that case, I will not do that sort of practice.
Interesting.
So when I did do the locking sort of thing, I didn't have to worry about it at all.
That was one thing I picked up from the public speaking classes like in college. The advice was to pretend like you're kind of like a tree and you're rooted to the ground.
Yeah.
And that really helps you kind of stabilize and realize that no one's going to really see you shaking if you're shaking. But if you're practicing after that many times, you're probably going to be all right. But
yeah,
that was definitely a valuable lesson that I still do.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's useful. Very useful.
Man.
So Alex, I think, brought up a very good, a very cool topic for us that I think might be the exact right thing to close out the podcast with.
Which... I love these transitions. They're so great.
Am I doing
You're
good?
Doing a great job. No, You're doing a fantastic job.
I'm killing it for you, Skirbo.
I'm trying it out here. All right. So Alex had made a suggestion that we each share some game, sound effect, music, anything that was nostalgic to us that we think kind of helped shape our gaming interest or our gaming personalities or something like that. I think, you know, I'll start us off if you'll have
to. Yeah, you should definitely start because my mind's really
nice. Yeah, it's pretty, you know, open-ended. But I think the two that I think shaped kind of my, like, understanding of games and, like, my like, reward systems and stuff was the Zelda, like, chest opening sound and the Final Fantasy fanfare, like, after you win.
Yeah.
Like, those two tracks, I think, very effectively, like, communicated to me, like, you did something good, like, you should be rewarded
for it
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, every subsequent Final Fantasy game, I love hearing that fanfare just because it kind of grounds me into the experience. And I'm like, yeah, I'm playing a Final Fantasy game right now. This is awesome.
I was definitely going to say that.
Like, even... But it's like, you know, you were saying you were playing Final Fantasy 15 before. And, like, every now and again, Prompto will mock the fanfare after you kill something. And it's like...
Super annoying.
It totally nails it. And it's because I think the developers know. They're like, yeah, like we're all on the same page here, right? Yeah. Like, you got it.
Fun fact, my cousin, I was her maid of honor, after she, like, they said I do, and as they were, like, walking back down the aisle, they played
the
fanfare.
Shut up. Are you serious?
And they did the one from Final Fantasy X. So they did the... Yeah. Wow. And afterwards, they'd be like... They walked back down the aisle, too.
I want that, but now I'm just copying the idea. Also, I don't have a girlfriend, so I don't have to worry about that, but that's fine.
Somebody will love you someday, Justin.
That is
really
good. Yeah. That's huge.
I love you.
So, Akash, let's flex your... coming up with stuff on the spot muscles. What would you say were some significant games that, you know, had soundtracks or specific sounds that really kind of, like, you know, influenced your gaming preferences or affected you in a dramatic way?
Yeah, so big, I have so many, but a big one is Mega Man 3, because that was the first game I ever played.
Came up on the dead talk.
Okay, pause.
Came up in the dead talk. Yep,
can we talk about the stage select in that fucking game?
Exactly.
Yo.
Yep. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Easily...
What time signature is in it? No one knows.
But it's so good. That's, like, easily, like, the best of the first six games. That is, like, the best song in the first six games. Just saying.
It's in my head now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop singing it, and I'm trying to figure out what time signature it's in. It's great. It's so good. So that Mega Man 3, and it is specifically either the top man stage, because I love that, or it is the character select. But for sound effects, for sound specifically, I actually only started noticing really truly sound effects at Halo 1.
Really?
And that's when I was
you
like,
took
oh,
mine. All the games.
Oh man, mine too. Guess I don't
like,
have
the music. Yeah. Obviously, was super noticeable. Yeah. It's like the Mario of a younger generation in terms of how recognizable that theme is. Mm-hmm. But it was the pistol specifically, the zoom in pistol sound effect that I was like, guns can sound awesome.
Yeah.
And until then, it was all generic. Like, that was the game that made me realize that sound design's a really freaking cool
thing. The little things in that game, too, like the health packs and the overshield.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Exactly. Hearing the overshield charge back up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a reassuring feeling.
Unpack that one for us, Akash. How do you get the whom sound?
Yeah. Oh, you got a good synthesizer in there. And you can do it real quick.
That's awesome. Okay. That's awesome.
I can make you overshield right now.
I think my favorite Halo sound is like when you melee someone from behind. You get that nice crunch.
Oh, the crunch. Oh, that's a great one. Yes, I crave that sound.
I crave that sound.
Like, because the guy, disgusting. The character's like, oh, like it's just like a little, and just the impact of the gun butt.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's perfect.
Great sound design.
Sometimes I would just do it to my teammates just to hear the sound.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Like, Halo has one of them, but that's totally true. Like, all of those guns and all the sound effects.
The needler.
Are really, yeah.
So unique. Yeah. So unique.
Yeah. Justin, how about you? I see you very intensely thinking over there.
Yeah, no, he's
I mean, it's
got a bit of a panic on his face.
No. Those are all really good. I keep thinking of like the well, after you mentioned the crunch, I thought of like the GoldenEye slap sound.
Oh my god,
GoldenEye! All I think about.
How about just like the pulling any gun out?
Song? Yeah.
Why does every gun have the same?
When you get the ammo packs too, it's like a satisfying like clip, but it's not even like a clip. It's more like a crunch, but. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
The slapping sound is definitely like dogs barking, right? I think it is.
Is it? It did sound weird, but then weirdly enough, you do it enough times and you just accept it.
I'm
a huge fan of melee sounds in games.
Yeah.
In Rocky, his punches, I think, are actually pistol shots.
No way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fun fact from Alex.
Somebody doesn't make
fun
that much noise in real life.
Is the spotlight off me now?
Yes,
am I done?
Yes.
Okay,
Liz, now that you've had plenty enough time to think of something other than Final Fantasy Fanfare.
Do you want me to go?
You took all my things, though. My things are going to be awkward. Final Fantasy 15. Final Fantasy 10.
What about Kingdom Hearts? What do you like about Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, I thought Dearly about
beloved.
That, but
yeah, no.
There's not a lot of good.
Even like
the
keyblade hitting the bad guys didn't make like that.
It's not a great
much
sound.
Of a, yeah, it's not
really
that great of a sound.
But you
I
know
got
what?
The objective about Kingdom Hearts.
The magic sounds in that game are great.
Yeah, the lightning.
Yeah.
When money drops.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think.
I love money sounds. I will say.
That's true. Yo, here like, we go. Diablo 1, gold falling out. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you break the thing and you just.
Sorry, that was
so good.
I'm sorry, I'm taking yours.
When a legendary item drops in that game, it like has this.
Like the thud?
Ringing, yeah, it's got this ringing sound to it that you know.
Oh, right.
Something awesome
it's like,
just dropped.
You're like I just have to walk one more inch and something dope is going to show up on my screen.
So Liz, what you got?
I thought we were done with me.
I think with Kingdom Hearts, like I do think that it has a lot of strong sound effects, but I think that game's soundtrack is
soundtrack's
head and shoulders over most other game soundtracks,
especially on PS2 back in the day.
Like Dearly Beloved, that title screen song, like it's so much nostalgia for me. It literally hurts. I hear that song, I literally need to like. Just like, you know,
it's
collect
very,
myself after it.
I learned how to play it on the piano.
So,
yeah.
Oh, so beautiful.
Halo was going to be my, like, my big one. But just the ones that just come to mind when I try to think about this, there's a couple games that pop out. One of them was one of the first games I ever played was Ninja Gaiden on Nintendo.
Great game.
Nice.
Great soundtrack.
Good choice.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I rewatched the opening sequence recently, and that just, like, there's so much nostalgia packed into that with, like, it's that classic scene of like two ninjas running towards each other, and you hear the feet in the grass, and then they jump in the slice midair.
Oh my gosh,
that's great!
It's funny you that's not the first time you've mentioned.
Oh, I know
that but it's like every time you say that, I try to think about what it sounds like in my head, but all I end up hearing is Shinobi 3 on the Genesis, which is like a very similar thing. Like
it's a classic ninja thing going on.
I'm like,
on.
No, wait, no, that's 16-bit. That's not right.
But as a kid, one of the biggest sound effect things that really stuck with me is Sonic. Like the ramping
that's a
up
great
one.
Yeah, spin
when
drive.
When he's speeding or like when he dies or when the bubble shield activates.
Yeah, oh my god, when he dies underwater.
Yes.
Like,
oh my god.
When he's going off of any of the springboards or like the entire game is literally just sound effects. Like back to back to
it's
back.
Actually
back.
Very true. It is. Yeah.
Thinking about it.
It's like that and the song from Ice Cap Zone and Chemical Plant.
That's
all I'm coming away with from that.
Or every time you hit Robotnik, it's like this sound, like crunchy, metally, like hollow thing.
Man.
I don't know. Great stuff.
Akash, does it ever like do you ever look at these other examples and you're like, man, I gotta I gotta, like, you know, I gotta work hard to put myself on the same level as, you know, these iconic, you know, ring sound effects from Sonic the Hedgehog 1.
The ring, when you go into the ring, when you go to the other dimension.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me all day, every day, is me like, oh man. That was so good. Oh,
yo, but that health pack guy is in Hyperlight Drifter, right?
Changed my life.
Yes. No, honestly, the dash sound effect in that is one of the most satisfying, especially because, like, you know, once you get good at it and you're, like, dashing, like, multiple times, it's, like, it's almost like, what's that musical thing where it's, like, it's, like, the sound is constantly ramping up. And it
crescendo.
Doesn't
crescendo.
No, no, no. But like crescendo, like comes to a clash. It's like it's almost like it's rising, and it sounds like it continues to rise indefinitely.
It does not stop.
I don't know what it's called.
Oh, but... it's the what's that movie called? Crap. The
haven't seen that one.
The recent Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk does that technique throughout the whole soundtrack, and I forget what it's called though, but yeah, it just keeps rising nonstop.
Yeah, it's almost like you know in Super Mario 64 when you go to Bowser's last room and you don't have enough stars and you run up the staircase indefinitely.
It is
and it just sounds like it keeps going up, right? Like with the dash, it's like when you get into that rhythm, when you've consecutively dashed like over 100 times, it's like almost like you. Like I'm strictly audio at that point. I am just listening to that sound effect, like rising and waiting for it to hit that same point so I can continue the dash string. It's like it was.
This makes me very happy.
That was necessary. And there's a challenge in the game around that dash thing. So
absolutely, there is.
Yeah.
When you were doing that dash sound, did you Akash? Did you have to play it over and over and over to make sure that it never got annoying? I feel like
absolutely
right. Okay,
yes.
That's
yes.
a thing.
1,000 times to make sure it was like, okay. Does this work? Is it soft enough? Because the first one was like a real big like, whoosh, like, and it was way too much. So I had to work on a lot of those sounds to make sure they never got annoying. The sword is another one of those.
Ooh, that's interesting. I always thought about that. Like with
I've
music
never
too.
About that.
You know what I mean? Like, so I remember again one of the Zelda creators. They were talking about the music in like the first ever Zelda. They were like, we needed to create a song that would never get annoying, and they go through multiple iterations to find it.
You know what made me think of? Well, we were thinking of good sounds. I thought of a bad sound, which one?
Okay, I like this.
Was when you play Katamari Damacy and you're down to the last 60 seconds, it goes.
Oh, the sirens
like,
are terrible.
For 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're like,
this
sound doesn't stop, I'm going to
it's
die.
It's terrible. All sirens
it's
are just
horrible.
Bad.
Horrible. Like all of like the bad sounds, but I mean like I guess that's how they want you to feel.
But it works.
Like, all of the bad sounds in Katamari are like so bad.
They're intentional.
Intentionally
bad.
Like when you like are about to crash into something.
Yeah.
Like that sound too. You're just like, oh shit, I'm kind of.
It's like the flipping sound.
But it's gonna feel bad for the guy making the alarm sound because in almost any circumstance the alarm sucks. It's like you know the Metal Gear alarm is great and iconic, but like you better believe I'm hitting reset like the second that goes off. You know what I mean?
That's his goal. That's what he wants. He's done his job.
Yeah, you
if
gotta
you feel
right.
like
you gotta know you fucked up
intentionally. Yeah,
Yeah, Tara, what you were saying, like that must be frustrating to come with that perfect sword sound,
right?
And like, you know what? I nailed it. I'm done. But you play it back to back, and it just like sounds awful. You're like,
on the 57th time, when you're done with it, that can't be right.
That's footsteps most of the time.
Right. Oh yeah,
that's my eternal struggle with footsteps.
Is that why everyone uses the Counter-Strike footsteps?
those Counter-Strike footsteps are everywhere.
That's so funny that we all know what that sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
I never even thought of that, but I hear it.
I hear it immediately. It doesn't blend in. This is like I guess it's just a snapshot of what you go through all the time, Akash. Like when I hear those footsteps, it just breaks my immersion.
It sounds like sand on stone with rubbered soles, but then you're not on that in the game.
It's just bad.
Right. It's like a military boot, generic military boot on gravel, and you're gun.
I've
heard
it so many times.
Yep.
Yeah. At this point,
that's so funny.
Yep. It's everywhere.
You put it into. Like...
I even own those sounds. I have it somewhere that I can use at any time.
It's like it becomes to a point where it just becomes comical, like the Wilhelm scream or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yep.
Well, the footsteps in Hyperlight, I think. No. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it actually changes depending on what type of thing you're stepping on, right?
Yep, right.
So it's
there's
grass, and, there's tile, there's, you know, wet surfaces.
Right.
Yeah.
And initially when I first started, the first footsteps I made were like high heels. And they sounded terrible, but we left them in just sexy. As a placeholder for like years. Yeah, very sexy.
It must feel weird to change that out.
It felt weird, but it also felt good because literally everyone, including myself, was like, "We gotta
change this.
Yeah, we gotta." I'm like, "I will. I got a monster to make," and I just never got to it. But what actually ended up happening with the footsteps, which I thought was interesting, is not all of them, but a good chunk of them are actually have no shoe or boot or anything in them. It's just me like messing with fabric to make it sound soft.
Really cool.
Interesting.
Because that would make it so fabric? It never gets annoying. It's I'm kind of like mussing with fabric. Yeah, like kind of like a capey sort of sound. Huh. And just makes it sound soft and more so like weird. A drifter would wear as opposed to a military person.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How about that?
I like capey sounds.
You're like,
I'm like, well, a drifter would walk a lot, so his shoes would be soft. They wouldn't be hard, heeled boots.
Yeah.
Right, they'd be super worn out, so they would sound soft.
So there's sometimes where you're literally taking something that is completely either opposite or different than what you're supposed to be making, and then it just sounds better than what actual
almost always.
That's crazy to me.
I'm wondering if you ever have these like kind of stroke of genius moments where you're just like sitting at your desk and you're just goofing with something and it like drops in a certain way and you're like, wait, that's good, and then you like go to record that.
Oh, it's why I'll never be married, because literally anytime I'm with friends, like I will walk by a stop sign and the wind will blow through it weird. I'm like, stop. Shut up. Kiss my butt. Shut up. And then we'll just listen. And they're like, oh my god.
Do you have a recorder with you at all times?
Oh, I have one all the time. I have a portable one, like a super portable one that just fits in a jacket pocket. Yeah. And I have like a big old one that I use for when
this is a man who loves his job.
That's pretty awesome.
Let me ask this before we like kind of wrap up. Like, what was there a sound that was just really difficult for you? Like, we talk about kind of your process here, but was there one you just had a really difficult time nailing?
Yeah, so other than the health, there's another one. If when you hold, well, depending on the button, but if you're holding like the interact button and it's filling up a bar in hyper, like, and like filling up in that blow bar, that confirmation ka-chunk when you successfully fill up that bar, when the game is acknowledged that you did something, or when you're picking up an item, that was so freaking difficult because we wanted it to sound like that good Metal Gear Solid pickup sound, which is one of the best pickup sounds.
Oh my god,
it is a good pickup sound, right?
So freaking good. It's so satisfying. I'm like, wow, how did they do that? Like that. It's like one of the few times I could listen to a sound and not be able to deconstruct it.
Yeah.
It's just so freaking good and so anime that I loved it. But that took so many tries. I think that hit like 31 or 32 by the end of it. Then that thing, that action, that animation never changed. So the health at least had the excuse of the interaction of health changing.
Right. Yeah.
But in this case, we just had the bar and it needed to be full and it needed to sound good. And I just couldn't nail it
on
that first try or the 30th try.
How many? Okay. Just for my reference sake, right? In a game like Hyper Light Drifter, how many sound effects, total sound effects did you end up making?
I think about 400 made it in, but I made over 800.
Wow. Jesus.
That's crazy.
Christmas. Yeah.
And multiple versions of certain sounds and stuff.
Exactly.
And each of those are so like hand-picked and hand-like.
Every single one.
Yeah,
every single one.
Interesting. So,
some are just synthesized from scratch, like I didn't have to record anything, but yeah, everything's handmade.
Wow. That's awesome. Huh.
I have one follow-up question because we were talking about the Metal Gear sound effects. Have you ever had the chance to talk to one of these other sound designers from another game and just kind of like pick their brain to be like, how did you do these things, you know?
Yeah, I got to talk to Jonas Turner, who does all the sound design for Vlambeer games, so like Luftrausers Super Crate Box and Nuclear Throne and stuff.
Yo.
He's amazing. He's such a cool guy.
I was going to say.
And when I asked him, like, because he makes things like big and impactful, everything hits. I was like, how the fuck do you do that? He's like, oh, here's my trick. I put the same bassy thud, like boom, under every single sound.
Oh, well, that's so funny because I was just thinking Luftrausers, and like every time you shoot a ship, it's like the same.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's just big. So he's good at that. And one of his secret techniques, he's like, I just put the same thing under it, and it makes it cohesive, and it makes you just go like, hell yeah, everything's blowing
that's
up.
That's hilarious.
So it's like,
when you heard that, well, you were like, oh. That's it? All
right. No, I screamed, that's genius, and then started doing it.
Okay. That's awesome.
One sound
it's so brilliant.
One sound that jumps out, the most hilarious sound even as a kid was the
So good.
The faster you tap at the
yeah.
Hey, such a good sound. I love it. Every sound in Metal Gear is perfect.
It is really good.
It is very good. Akash, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you this evening.
Yeah.
This is a good one. This has been a really awesome time. What I'd like to do before we go is where can our listeners come find you? What projects are you working on? Is there any great resources that people can go and find your work or good educational material for people interested in sound design?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm working on a bunch of stuff. But so if you just type in my name into Google, I come up. It's a unique enough name that it is easy to find, AKASHTHAKKAR. So if you go to my YouTube channel, I have 102 videos that teach people how to break into the game industry.
Awesome.
Wow. So ain't no one got any excuse. So there's that. There's also, if you just type in my name on YouTube, you can see all my TED Talks. I have two. You can see my GDC talks about the sound of Hyperlight Drifter or just sound design in general. And on top of that, you can also just go to my website, akashthakar.com, and see what I'm up to. But I'm most active on that good Twitter and that good Instagram.
Nice.
And you can also see later this year, I don't have a title for it yet, but I'm writing a book and actually have a publishing deal.
No way. Congratulations,
that's
man. Awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
On how to do sound for games. So that's going to be, that'll be fun.
When you turn the pages, is there going to be a sound effect? that old book?
I begged them to allow me make it a 250 page Hallmark card.
Oh my gosh! Well, hey, maybe the audiobook version of that will include some little Easter eggs.
I'll try to copy
those. Awesome, man. Well, listen,
that's what I'm up to.
It like I said, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't wait until we get to meet up and have a drink or something when we're at PAX East.
PAX East,
just a couple of weeks away. But in the meantime, thank you, Justin. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Akash.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys on the next one. Peace out.
See ya.
Thank you.